Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are again. Program number 18, but day 2 of our information from the scriptures on Israel. I'm going to imagine that if that was the first time you'd heard any of that stuff, that might have sounded kind of confusing, but it's not really at all. And today we're going to kind of put the meat to the cake. Not that you put much meat onto a cake anyway, but we're just going to look at 2 chapters that just say it all for Israel. Chapter 9 of Romans and chapter 11. And today I'm not going to try to put too many different, we're just going to read through it. And I'll try to pop in a few comments here and there to maybe help with an understanding a little bit. But just keep this in mind, that there's a major difference between Jews and Gentiles. And in order to notice those in your reading, you just can't read through your Bible, your King James, of course, I'm talking about all the time when I say Bible. You just can't read through that 10 pages a day or just try to get your chart done or whatever. You've got to take your time and say to yourself, now who is he talking to here? Is he talking to me? Is he talking to the Jews? Is this about the Jews? Is this about the Gentiles? And in fact, rightly dividing goes beyond just Old Testament and New Testament, reminding yourself that New Testament really doesn't even begin doctrinally until the death of the testator. Hebrews 9 reminds us that. So, and that's a fact that Paul teaches to the Jews, but it's still a fact to anybody that understands that. So, rightly dividing not only means Old Testament, New Testament, it means Jews or Gentiles, and within the Gentiles is what you're reading directed to you as a father, or as a husband, or as a mother, or a wife, or to kids, aged, young, or whatever. We've even got to pin it down that close. A good illustration for that would be Titus chapter 2, but we'll save that for another day. I just want you to be aware of chapter 9, he's going to be talking about the Jews and the Gentiles to see why it is that God went ahead and did what he did when it came to, you know, blinding the Jews and putting it all on the table in the buffet fashion for the Gentiles. It's a lot like the question, when Adam and Eve did what they did in the garden, why didn't God just shut the whole program up and stop it and start over again or whatever? Well, he doesn't do that. So, let's get into chapter 9 here today. And remember that Paul is always concerned about his brethren. And he says, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Those are the Jews. He says in chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So this is what this is about. Paul just feels bad about the Jews. Those are his brethren. So, and we'll see how bad he feels in chapter 9. So let's see if we can make sense of this chapter 9. And here we go. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Follow along in the King James Bible. Try to follow along in the other Bibles with me, and it'll be pretty difficult because it just doesn't say the same thing. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He really cared for his people. And really, as a father or a husband or even just a friend for somebody, we should have that heaviness and continual sorrow in our heart when we see that they have rejected the words of God, that they have rejected rightly dividing to understand their scriptures. They may believe that Jesus died and rose again, but they reject his teachings when he rose again. All those things. Heaviness and continual sorrow in our hearts. Now, verse 3, I can't say this. I can read it, but this is Paul. This is how much Paul cared for his people. I can't claim this verse. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He would trade places with them. Wow. Verse 4. Let's go back to 3 and keep it going. It's not a period after 3, it's a colon, so let's keep going the way the punctuation tells us to. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now that's the Old Testament, that's the Gospels. That's what all that is about. That stuff in the Gospels is not to us as Gentiles. It's there for us to learn about Jesus when he came down, God came down in the flesh, etc., etc. But that's not to us. That is all Jewish stuff. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Remember Isaac, Ishmael? That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now we're starting to see the difference between the Gentile who is a Christian, who is saved, is a and remember it says, Abraham is our father. So now we're going to have to slow down and we're going to have to see, is he referring to the Gentiles or is he referring to the Jews? Gentiles are spiritual Jews, but that doesn't mean we follow the teachings to the Jews during the Old Testament and the Gospel days. So keep that in mind. Okay, just remember what we talked about Romans chapter 4. An imputation. His faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham is the father of those with the faith. Okay. 6 again. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay, remember we touched on that yesterday. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, notice parentheses, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Parentheses. So what you do when you see a parentheses like that, you study the parentheses by itself, then you go back and you read 10 to 12, because that's the statement. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. But you go back and you put in verse 11 as a parenthesis. Okay? Remember, the election are God's chosen people, not this election baloney that the Calvinists put out today. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I know there's talk about that. We can talk about that someday. Let's try to stay on the trail here. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Because of all that was previously said. God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Remember, Romans 11 talks about God treating the Jews with severity and the Gentiles with goodness. 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? See, so many people are mad at God today because they think the life that they are living now, as rough and challenging and hurtful or sad or whatever it is, God is making them have that kind of a life. And a preacher will put out there and say, yeah, well, see, you haven't got enough faith. Or a preacher will say, well, the life you're living is because God is chastising you, which is only found in Hebrews. We'll talk about that someday. They'll put the guilt trip on you. And here it is. Thou wilt say that unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? I mean, who are you to challenge God? But that isn't the life God has chosen for you to have. That's what he's saying here. 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Well, okay, is he saying that about you personally or the Gentile nation versus the Jewish nation? There's the key. Don't let some pastor put that on you and say, well, see, God is messing with you. He's making you have these hurts and pains and disasters in your life. He's making you into a better Christian. Now, tribulation worketh patience. That's true. But don't go so far as to say that, well, God is just making that happen to you. Just don't go. This is all referring to the Gentiles and the Jews as a nation. Now, you'll see right here. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that's the heathen, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, heathen, Gentiles, which he had afore prepared unto glory, Jews, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only. And this is what everybody gets mad at Paul for, because he says, but also of the Gentiles. So Paul is trying to tell these people why God is going on to the Gentiles now. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. See, the Bible talks about the Gentiles and the heathen as not even a people, dogs. So can you imagine the Jews who supposedly had everything from God and their Messiah was supposed to come and be their king, and he goes and here this guy comes along and says, well, you know, this risen Savior that you guys killed went on to the Gentiles and is giving them everything that he would have given to you. You can see why they didn't like Paul. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Wow. I mean, we have to be thankful to the Jews for what they've done by rejecting their Savior, actually. Now, God had come to the Jews through Jesus and manifest himself in the flesh to Jesus, who was going to take that to the Jews, who were supposed to take that to the world. So we would have eventually found out, but not in the manner that's taken place today. Let's keep reading. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. This all isn't going to last long. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been a Sodoma and had made like unto Gomorrah. You know Sodom and Gomorrah, that story. Now listen closely here, read closely. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, which they didn't, Old Testament, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Yes, that's what we're saying. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness? That's right. The Jews were expected to walk the law, and they didn't. The Gentiles would not follow after righteousness, but they received God's righteousness. Wherefore? I mean, how can this be? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And that's the risen Savior. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, if you read through that chapter, some of those verses that are sermons in themselves, this will all start to take place in your little mind, in your little heart, and you'll start to understand who these Jews really are still today. Now, let's get into some more specifics here. Let's go to chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? There's a plain, simple question. God forbid. And there's a lot of people that think God has just chucked the Jews and been done with them. No, he hasn't. You'll see. Let's read it here. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's Paul. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Again, foreknowledge, that's all Jewish. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded? Here we go now, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Unto this day. Now, let's go back and check that parenthesis out. Verse 8 is parentheses until the word here. So let's read 7 and go right on past. I'm not taking out. We're just going to stop it for a minute here. What then, verse 7, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded until this day. Now, that part about blinded until this day, read the parentheses. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Got to watch this stuff grammatically, too. Verse 9, And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. Now notice, Bunny, I have to drop this in as a teacher, music teacher here. Let's see, verse 9. Table be made a snare and a trap, drum set, snare drum, trap set. Interesting. Wonder if that has something to do with the stumbling of music today. Anyway, just a sidelight thought. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Now remember, God has not cast his people away. Remember that. He's not cast away his people. But, have they stumbled that they should fall? Watch. God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Jews could have had what we've been given. Now we're not looking at earthly riches, we're looking at the spiritual blessings. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, there we go, Paul's the man, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. He is hoping that his brethren would find out what the risen Savior has taught to Paul to teach to the Gentiles, that they would want that. But, don't forget, they've got the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. How many people do you talk to today, even in the Gentile world anymore, about the risen Savior and the teachings from the risen Savior? They're almost in the same position the Jews are. They can't see it if you show it to them, and they can't hear it even when you tell it to them. What is blocking them? Well, we'll talk about that in another day. 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now you need to sit down on your own and draw out this little branch, this little root, this little tree, this plant here, and draw this thing up, and you see where the Gentiles fit in, and you can see where they'll be cut off eventually here. You'll see it coming. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou, Gentiles, thou standest by faith. Because of unbelief, Jews, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Again, Gentile nation. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, Jews, but toward thee, Gentiles, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And when the Gentiles are done hearing about the goodness of God, dealing with what the goodness of God is only through Paul in the King James Bible, then the rapture will come, take what's left, and get right onto the tribulation. He will cut off the Gentile nation. That is not referring to individuals who lose their salvation. Okay. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Now this is where people are today. They're conceited Christians thinking that God is doing this all for the Gentiles, for them individually, and it's not. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, here's what they need to know. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's Paul's teachings to the Gentiles. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now here's Israel today. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. So God still, those are still his people. But they're against the truth of the risen Savior. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All this stuff about Israel makes so much sense when you look at it rightly dividing Jews, Gentiles, circumcision, uncircumcision. You just got to be aware of that. And as you read through these things, it all starts to settle in place. I don't expect you to get it from the radio program. I'm just trying to get you to want to have some taste. Get that King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible and you want one, I'll send you one. I would hope that you would pay for shipping, but I'll send you a really nice text only. No notes, no Greek this, Greek that. All just text only, King James Bible. 1611, one that you can trust is to be the exact preserved words, and I'll send it to you. You just gotta hopefully pay for the shipping. I'm hoping you would do that. And, I just can't afford to do this. I've been doing it for years. I haven't had to pay for many shippings. But you just read through this and you'll just start to see this stuff so fall into place. And it's very important. Remember he says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We have to understand what this is talking about, or we become wise in our own conceits. And that's a whole nother program. So there it is as program 18. We will continue. Program 19 tomorrow. We will talk to you tomorrow.